But on the line now is James Nixon. He's an author, speaker, and retired A380 captain. James, how are you?
G'day, Jack. Well, I'm standing on the deck of the Albert Park Yachting and Angling Club at Kerford Road Pier.
Lovely place to be.
Absolutely perfect.
I bet it is. Hey, I wanted to ask you about this Jetstar flight making this landing in Guam. We've been sent some photos of the cockpit, and it does look like a rather big hole, but is there much to worry about there from a safety point of view?
If there's a big hole, it is, but a standard sort of thing that happens to aeroplanes, and it has happened a lot to the 787. It's a sort of a thing that was a problem when it first started, and I don't know how much they've resolved it, but there have been quite a few of these windscreen breakages in the 787 fleet since it started. The problem is mostly these flights are done at night time, so these poor people were probably coming back at night time. You'll have to check on that.
Yes, they were. Sure. I think they ended up making the emergency landing at 1 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, so what happens is usually you hear a bang, and then all of a sudden you've got a understanding that there's a broken windscreen in front of you, which is like a car windscreen. It laminates like a car windscreen. But it's not as bad as you think, because there's three layers of glass, and in between one of the layers is a special plastic heating element. So that heats the glass so that it you can see out of it. And it also heats it for takeoff, so that if you hit a big bird on takeoff, it doesn't smash the windscreen.
Wow.
The windscreen's a bit soft and it captures the bird, and it guarantees that the pilots are not going to be hit. But that's what they tell us to get us to sit there.
It's reassuring.
And we believe them. We believe them. Trust me. So there's these three layers of glass. The outer one is not structural. So if the outer one goes, which is usually what happens,
yes,
then there's no problems and you can continue on. If the inner ones... There's two inside ones from the element. If one of them is broken, then it could be structural and it's wise to land the plane as soon as possible. And the way you find out which glass pane has been broken is to put your finger or a pen up against the glass, and that gives you an indication as to the layers of glass. And you can see if it's broken where the pen is, you're in trouble. If it's not broken where the pen is, it's on the outer layer and you're safe to continue on your way.
So if you were flying this plane, obviously this one, they've landed in Guam, which is, I guess, the U.S. military. Oh, it's a U.S. Territory, isn't it? Have you ever had to land there? And I guess that's a controlled landing or...
they are very strict there. And it's an American port. And it's actually the reason why pilots have to retire at 65, because it's a U.S. airspace and pilots have to retire by 65 years of age. And planes that go from Australia up to Asia, if they have to divert, they might divert to Guam, and for that reason they have to be under 65. So that's why pilots who stay with Qantas and Jetstar and Virgin after 65 fly domestically, and they can fly right up to, I think someone who's about 72 at the moment who's flying in Melbourne, as long as you do your medical every 6 months, there's no problem.
And have you ever had this happen with a windscreen when you've been flying?
Yes, I had one of these in an A320 years ago, and it's a bit of a scare, but when you realise that it's not structural, it's just annoying. The other thing that can happen to windows is the heating element can fail, and quite often that causes a big bang and a puff of smoke, which is a bit exciting when it's right in front of your eyes. And what that leads to is... in one case, someone tried to put a fire out with a fire in the window. Can you believe that? With a fire extinguisher. And that caused a bit of drama in one flight. Another flight, and the one I had happened to me, it just means it completely fogs over and you can't see to land, which is why it's a really great idea to have two pilots up the front of every airplane you're in. And when they try and tell you that we'll have one pilot in the future and an autopilot, you just say, I'll walk, thanks.
Wow. Yes, thank you very much. Now, that's good advice, James, and freaky.
How do you get it fixed? Now, this is the problem in Guam. So we had that club I was talking about the other day, IATA.
Yes.
A little club of travel of airlines. And they have a DLG, which stands for Aircraft on Ground. And the whole industry adheres to this to the system of getting spare parts across the world in an instant. So you'll be ready to take off on any airline. You'll be sitting there waiting to take off. Suddenly someone runs in with a parcel with big AOG stickers on it and says, "Captain, put this in the cockpit. You've got to fly it to Cairns and it's got to go now." And it doesn't matter which airline it's for. It's an industry-accepted standard. So they'll get the parts out as fast as possible. But
amazing.
In the past, Jetstar's had this issue before, and they had it during COVID when it was really hard to get
parts.
Manpower around the world, and they couldn't get spare parts out of Boeing's factory in a hurry. So that was why one of the Jetstar 787s was delayed on the ground for being
fixed. Oh, the one in Vietnam, I think that was, wasn't it? So with this one, the plane's still in Guam, and they actually sent another plane to go and get these passengers back to Australia.
Yeah, that'd be the trick. And who knows how long it's going to be. The spare parts will probably come from Japan because Japan, ANA, is the launch customer and the biggest, the first fleet of 787. So there's spare parts all around that they can get there very, very quickly. But then again, you've got to do the change and then you've got to wait some time for the glues, the special glues they use to cure. So it may be a few days before that airplane gets out of there.
James, always great to chat. James Nixon is author, speaker and retired A380 captain. If there's anything about planes he doesn't know, it doesn't exist. Thanks again for coming on the show. We're going to speak to our passenger, Daniel, who was actually on that flight a little later on.